B-Pod Studios.
Listen, listen, watch, watch, react in real time. Toucher and Richer on Twitch.tv. Just follow the Sports Hub. Sports Hub.
Ben Simmons near midcourt, and Embiid got knocked down by Smart, and Embiid wants a piece of him. The two of them are nose to nose in the middle of the lane. Embiid took a tough spill near the baseline, and Smart just kind of stood there and watched them fall.
Wow.
I didn't see what precipitated that.
Oh, that's on.
I mean, all it was just a steal at the other end, and now Marcus Smart's going to have to be led off the floor. Well, Embiid's going to be led in the other direction.
I'm not sure what happened then.
And now Smart taunting the crowd as he walks back to the bench.
Now, I'm disappointed, Marcus, that we need you. Like, Baines is already out. You know, we need him to be in the game. And so, no matter what happened, we need that to happen. But otherwise, I thought the guys that came in did a good job. I thought Shemmy really gave us something. I probably should have put him in at the end of the game and let him play a little bit more. That's a tough spot to be in after not playing much recently.
Shemmy Ogilvie and you, Ted Johnson, I have a feeling have similar workout routines.
Let's go. I'd like to train with him, see what he's got. Man, I can learn something from him.
I read an article.
He is jacked, though.
He's maniacal, apparently, about him being in shape. And in the NBA, where you've got guys who are built like action figures, I think he's one of those dudes that they look at and go, whoa, man.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll just – whatever you're doing. It's obviously
the different body types are funny. I mean, you got guys that are rocked up like him, like, you know, Dwight Howard.
Well, Howard was
chiseled.
And then
there's some soup sandwich type bodies too, like Charles Barkley. So it runs the gamut of body types.
Or Jokic, which I said looks like a bag of potatoes with a jersey on it, but it'll kill you on the court. I mean, the guy's unbelievable.
That's right.
All right, so it is Touch and Rich, and last night's game obviously didn't end the way that anyone really wanted, and fortunately you had an injury with Baines and then the Marcus Smart situation. Well, on with us right now on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline, it's our good friend Danny Ainge, and if there's anybody who could give us a opinion worth respecting on what happened in yesterday's game, it would be Mr. Ainge. Good morning, Danny.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are we today?
We are doing good. So what happened last night? I mean, you know, with Marcus Smart, you know, you get, and even Brad said it last night, you get one or two of these a year. What was your opinion of what went down, and have you said anything to Marcus since then?
I have not talked with Marcus. Brad has talked with Marcus. I'm sure some of his teammates have. I'm not with the team right now, but I'll talk to Marcus. But Marcus and I have had this conversation many times, and I would agree with what Brad said. I mean, we like his fire and his passion, but we need him. And, you know, I wish we'd had Marcus down the stretch. Our defense was not good in the last few minutes. We had some lack of communication and bad defensive execution, and it cost us the game, you know, and our two toughest guys are sitting on the bench, or you know, Baines and Smart are not in there.
Is a push like that, in your opinion, worthy of a suspension?
I don't even know anymore. You know what's going to happen? Doesn't seem to be consistent, so I'm not even sure if it is or it isn't. But you know, it's just Marcus lost his poise, and you know, that hurt us.
If this was 1988 and there was a push like that, there would be no question that would definitely not be a suspension, correct? Times have changed, haven't they, Danny?
Yes, very much so.
Well, I mean, and I mean, the thing about Marcus is that, you know, why it was so frustrating, and it was kind of like last year with, you know, punching the glass. Everyone loves Marcus Smart. They know how important he is on defense. But with Baines being out, who truly is a defensive game changer. And I think during that period, Danny, and correct me if you feel differently, you know, when the team went through that pretty big slump, I think a lot of it had to do because you didn't have Baines in there for most of that time, and he truly changes the dynamic defensively of this team.
Yeah, I mean, all of our eyes tell us all that every time we watch Baines play, but, you know, all the statistics are overwhelmingly in favor of Baines on the defensive end, and he's a big time energy guy. He's a team oriented guy. He sacrifices his body, takes charges. He's a big help to our defense.
What is the latest on Baines, by the way? When do you expect him to be back?
I don't know. It's day to day. I don't think it was a terribly bad ankle sprain. I don't think it's going to be 3 weeks, but I think that it's just a day-to-day injury, and, you know, we'll obviously be careful, and we need everybody healthy by playoffs.
Okay, along those lines, with everyone being ready by playoffs, this is the time of year where many times certain players kind of disappear for one reason or another to get, you know, we all know the reason why is they're all getting rest, whether or not it's, you know, explicitly out there like that. Well, Kyrie Irving yesterday straight up said that, yeah, I'm going to be taking some games off, getting ready for the playoffs. First of all, what do you believe the schedule will be for that? And do you have a problem with players saying that and stating that in public?
I don't have a problem with it. I mean, it's the truth. To me, we need to be healthy. And Kyrie's had some not really bad injuries, just some small little things, and we need him 100%. Same with Horford. Horford's been had a little nagging knee issue, and before any of this, you know, grind for the playoff seeding, you know, we've been planning on giving them rest, and I think that regardless of what happens with the seeding, I think that it just takes a priority over health, or the health takes a priority over seeding.
Well, speaking of health, you know, Gordon Hayward, before he got injured, was looking pretty damn good. I mean, he was getting, you know, closer to what I think we had all hoped he would be when he was first signed, coming back from the injury. What are you hearing now as far as his concussion? Have you spoken with him and gotten any sort of update?
I did speak with Gordon, and it looks like Gordon is getting well, and he's going through the protocol. So my guess is he will either play Saturday or Sunday. He'll play this weekend, and I'm not sure exactly when he'll play.
Hey, Danny, just wanted to ask you, in your experience, have you seen teams just flip the switch when it comes to the playoffs? And do you think it's something this team can do? You know, we've seen that, you know, some of the issues just during the season, but do you think it's something this team can do by just turning on the switch? And do you think that's something that is true?
No, I don't think you can just flip a switch, you know, and just cruise. I mean, we have a lot of things to work out, but, you know, I don't think our team is planning on flipping a switch. I think that, you know, last night, I thought our team played fantastic through most of the game. I thought that we had a bad last few minutes of the game. I give Philadelphia credit. They're a very, very good basketball team. I mean, Jimmy Butler hit three very difficult perimeter shots, and I mean, that's how the game is, but our team is not flipping on a switch. I mean, we've been playing good basketball. We ran into a Clipper team that played their best game, you know, over expected points on the shots that we gave up. They had the highest amount of shots made, which is like a plus 32. I mean, it's just you run into a hot team and those things happen, and the same thing you know, Philadelphia down the stretch. Like I said, we played a good game last night. They played a good game, and we came up short. So I don't see our team limping into the playoffs or pacing ourselves or waiting for the playoffs before we're starting to play. I like a lot of things I'm seeing out there over these last couple of weeks.
Now, I saw your interview that you did with Steve Bulpet in the Herald talking about, you know, this season might not have, up to this point, matched the expectations that you had. Does that change your opinion of how you think this team will fare in the playoffs?
Well, I mean, it's obviously more difficult. I'm not pretending to think that it's easier if you're a number one seed than it is a number four or five seed. But, you know, it can still be overdone. I mean, I've seen eight seeds win NBA championship, or sixth seed, I think, was the one I saw with the Rockets when they limped into the playoffs. But I feel like it's not as gloomy and doomy to me. I mean, I see a lot of really good things happening, and Gordon was one of those things as he was starting to come back. I mean, his presence makes a difference. Baines has been out a lot this year. His presence makes a difference. And so, you know, statistically, in a lot of ways, we're better than we were in our 53 and 55 win seasons of the last couple of years, and I believe that we are. So time will tell.
Hey, Danny,
I'm excited for the playoffs.
So I'm sorry to interrupt, Danny. I was just going to ask you, Is there anything specifically that you would like to see, one or two things specifically that you'd like to see your team improve on before you get to into the playoffs?
You know, I think that the biggest challenge this year has just been consistency. It's just been, you know, we have inconsistency throughout each game and inconsistency throughout the season. And it just, you know, I'd like to see us somehow figure out a way to stop the long runs. You know, we've lost a 25-point lead. We've lost a 28-point lead. And, you know, I just feel like we play so well, and then the other team goes on a run, and we're not able to stop the run shorter. So instead of a 22-4 run, like, we need to turn that into a, you know, a 14-4 run. Is because in the game today, I mean, teams are going to make runs, and the game is so different now than it was even 10 years ago, where 15-point leads mean nothing, because the 3-point line is so prevalent. There's so many guys that can shoot the three, and the lead changes. And then, you know, because the emphasis of the three, there's a greater variance in the three, and so the team that's coming, that's ahead, is continuing to shoot the threes because that's how they got ahead. And so I just think there's a greater variance, and you see it all around the league, not just with us this year, but teams blowing 25-point leads all over the place. But I'd like to see us be able to be a little bit more mature and figure that out.
All right, Danny Ainge, there was a pretty cool moment on Monday night, what you did for Isaiah Thomas and his return. And I happened to be at the game, and, you know, the place went crazy. People were showing up with Isaiah stuff. And I'll say this. That dude loves the Celtics. Like, I don't know if you heard all of the post-game press conference stuff talking about the Celtics. You know, things ended kind of strange here, obviously, because, you know, I think he believed that he was going to be a lifelong Celtic. Obviously, the trade happened. I don't think a lot of people had any problem with the actual trade itself. People understand the business, and even Isaiah said he did. But it was a little bit strange, and he had posted some blogs about how he, you know, felt bad about the entire situation. However, now it seems to be a big love fest, and I think that, you know, time kind of heals some of those wounds. Did you get to talk to him, on Monday, and did he speak to you about kind of how things went down and where things are now?
I text Isaiah occasionally throughout the season when he does something good or fun or something's going to happen and in his life. I reach out and text him, and we had a moment at the end of the game just the other day to say hi in person. He pointed at me and gave me a thumbs up and before the game started. But we, you know, he talks with Brad. When I say talks, probably more text also. Isaiah was a big part of what we were here. We all like him. We all love Isaiah. And he said, and cherished here. And none of that's changed.
Well,
even in his moments of frustration, none of that changed.
And the one thing with Isaiah too, and I think some of that frustration came with the theory that was out there, and, you know, we've talked about what Anthony Davis's dad said about Isaiah and his health and the way the Celtics handled it. Do you believe that the Celtics' hands, the organization's hands, are completely clean when it comes to Isaiah's injury and how he plays now as opposed to when he was a Celtic?
Absolutely.
So you think the training staff, there was no kind of misguidance, or the medical staff had nothing to do with him playing through an injury that possibly he shouldn't have been playing through?
No, I think that I had some of the greatest care. I think that, you know, Dr. McKeon, we think still, I mean, if I was to go get surgery myself, I think he's the best in the business. And so, no, I absolutely do not.
Was he ever told not to, or not told not to play, but was he ever recommended that possibly he might want to sit some games out during the playoffs, and maybe he was the one who decided to continue to play through that injury?
You know what? It's a complicated issue, and I'm not privileged to talk about the health of another player. That's not, those aren't those are against all the rules. So I wish I could give you more, but I really can't.
Now, some of the training staff.
I will just say that Isaiah is a warrior. I mean, he's going to try to find and talk his way into trying to get on the court. He reminds me a lot of Paul Pierce that way. I mean, Paul, boy, you could not keep him down. You tied him in a stretcher. I mean, he's going to find a way to get out and get out on the court. And there's a lot of guys that are like that, and some guys are not. But Isaiah was one of those types of guys, without question.
Well, I think that's why he was loved here. I mean, the dude was a warrior. There's nothing more he wanted to be than a Celtic. I mean, he said it every chance he could get. But, you know, some of the training staff was replaced after that season. Did that have nothing to do with what happened with Isaiah Thomas?
Nothing. Absolutely nothing. You know, our team doctor left. He was not replaced. He just took a sabbatical or took a leave. You know, he puts a ton of time. He has a full-time practice.
It was his choice? It was his choice to leave?
Yes.
Okay. Hey, Danny, just one final thing for me.
No. Real quick. So after Isaiah was done with the game, I mean, it was very cool. He had all the press around him, and he straight up said, I would love to come back to the Boston Celtics. Is he somebody you would possibly consider in free agency?
I can't, you know, comment on players on other teams. I just can't do that.
How do you like Isaiah's game, Danny?
hey, Danny, is there a team?
Let him answer!
is there a team you're watching in the NCAA tournament? I know you can't talk about the players.
He's got money on all of them.
Is there a certain team that you'll be following or some sort of dark horse that you're rooting for?
You know, not really. There's some teams that I think are maybe a little bit underrated. I think the team Nevada is a pretty good team that had some injuries, and they were really, really good midway through the season. They got as high as ranked sixth in the nation, that I think that is a seventh seed. And I think if they're healthy, which I don't know enough about any of that stuff, but I think they're one team. But obviously, you know, the number one seeds and the number two seeds are all the best teams and by far the best odds they have. But there's not clear cut team. I think everybody thinks Duke is the best odds of winning, but there's a lot of good teams out there. I mean, and I think there's going to be some really good games early and late in this bracket, because I think there's a lot of parity in college basketball.
Okay, so has there ever been this year's going to be interesting too. I mean, there's, you know, obviously Duke's got what, three guys that could go in the top 10, they're saying. I mean, it's kind of ridiculous the amount of talent they have, but has there ever been a March Madness performance that actually swayed a draft decision on how they performed actually in the tournament?
I'm sure there has. I mean, like we watch these guys all year, and there's definite tiebreakers. We'll continue to watch them now, but we go through a combine camp, and we go through individual workouts, and we do physicals, and we visit with the players, and we do background checks, and so there's a lot of things that sway all of our opinion. But there's a long, long time before the draft.
Sure. I didn't know whether or not there's somebody who just all of a sudden stood out. It may be someone you were wavering on, and the way that they performed, you were like, you know, this guy's, how can I not take him now? Look at how he's performing. It's a sign.
Yeah, I think that there's, sure. I mean, I think that's unrealistic. That's why, otherwise we wouldn't watch the games. But yeah, I think that during the season that happens to some of my scouts and some of my people, they fight for a guy because they see something really special when they're at a game. And so, sure, any game, and a bigger game probably even makes it more that way.
You arguably did that with your coach right now.
No, not really. I think there was one November where I was watching his team play in the Maui Classic a few games and watching him up really close. It's a very intimate setting there, Maui. It's like a high school gym, and watching him up close and watching his teams and his interaction is when I first really, he caught my eye. I was a fan ever since.
Who swears more, you or Brad Stevens?
Oh, definitely Brad. He has reason to swear more though. I mean, coaching is way different than me. I'm trying to keep Brad, you know, like the good Brad, the Brad that we all love and adore, which he is 99% of the time.
Except when Comcast picks it up accidentally, when there's a foul that he doesn't agree with. That was awesome, because it's like, you know, it's like almost like seeing. Well, for me, it would be my grandma, my sweet grandma, someone who's like the most nice person on the planet, swear. It's like so jarring that it almost, you feel liberated. You're like, wow, he's a human being like I am.
Yeah, I mean, just the nature of the job, too. I mean, Brad hardly ever, I mean, I never hear him swear when he's just talking and in conversation. But when I hear him swear on TV, I do cut him slack because I've been there. That 4 years of coaching for me, that was, coaching does it to you, and it's a tough, tough gig, and the gig I have now doesn't make me want to swear near as much as it did as a coach.
Well, listen, I since I've got you on the phone, I have to thank you. You and the Celtics organization did something really, really cool for my wife the other day, and Mike Gorman had a lot to do with it, too, because he nominated her, but, you know, you guys do that Heroes Among Us thing, and you guys nominated her. She went out in the court on Monday, and I can't tell you, like, if you watch it and it feels awesome, just imagine being the person or the family that it actually happened to. Like, we're never going to forget that, Danny. It's really cool that you guys do that at every home game.
Well, Mary is very inspirational, and she deserves that kind of attention. So we appreciate her and all that she does to inspire so many of us. So that's a great story.
Well, she could kick my ass. I know that. She's absolutely the one of the toughest people I've ever met. Well, thanks, Danny, for coming on, and we're in the home stretch. It's about to get real interesting, so we will talk to you again next week, and maybe we'll know a little bit more about the seeding and where everything's going to end up landing with this team.
All right, guys. Good talking to you.
All right, Danny. We'll talk to you soon. You know, I imagine Danny Ainge swearing it sounding a lot like when the woman from Misery got angry. You didn't set the cock-a-doodie pick. I could just completely see that, him like trying to swear, but it not quite coming out the right
Jones,
way.
Jones, G. Willikers. He does that at night, Adam Jones. G. Willikers.
Well, that was interesting.
He wouldn't bite on the Isaiah stuff, though.
No.
Well, the Isaiah stuff I find very interesting because here's why I'm on Danny's side, and I'll tell you when we get back.
Okay.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Listen, watch, react in real time. Toucher and Richer on Twitch.tv. Just follow the Sports Hub.
Ben Simmons near midcourt, and Embiid got knocked down by Smart, and Embiid wants a piece of him. The two of them are nose to nose in the middle of the lane. Embiid took a tough spill near the baseline, and Smart just kind of stood there and watched them fall.
Wow,
I didn't see what precipitated that.
Oh, that's on.
I mean, all it was just a steal at the other end, and now Marcus Smart's going to have to be led off the floor. Well, and Bede's going to be led in the other direction.
That's true. What happened then?
And now Smart taunting the crowd as he walks back to the bench.
Now, I'm disappointed, Marcus, that we need you. Like, Baines is already out. You know, we need him to be in the game. And so, no matter what happened, we need that to happen. But otherwise, I thought the guys that came in did a good job. I thought Shemmy really gave us something. I probably should have put him in at the end of the game and let him play a little bit more. That's a tough spot to be in after not playing much recently.
Shemmy Ogilvie and you, Ted Johnson, I have a feeling have similar workout routines.
Let's go. I'd like to train with him, see what he's got. Man, I can learn something from him.
I read an article.
He is just jacked, though.
He's maniacal, apparently, about him being in shape. And in the NBA, where you've got guys who are built like action figures, I think he's one of those dudes that they look at and go, whoa, man.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll just, whatever you're doing. It's obviously
the different body types were funny. I mean, you got guys that are rocked up like him, like, you know, Dwight Howard.
Well, Howard
like
was
chiseled.
Yeah.
And then there's some soup sandwich type bodies too, like Charles Barkley. So it runs the gamut of body
styles. Or Jokic, which I said looks like a bag of potatoes with a jersey on it, but it'll kill you on the court. I mean, the guy's unbelievable.
That's right.
All right. So,
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
No parents, no rules, no shirts, and best of all,
it's Toucher and Rich.
I read you loud and clear.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Game or two off before the playoffs?
I'm definitely taking some games off before the playoffs. It just makes no sense to put emphasis on these regular season games when you know you're gearing up for some battles coming in the playoffs.
All right, 98.5 Sports Hub. It's Toucher, Rich, Ted Johnson, Joe Murray in studio. We just had Danny Ainge on, and a couple quick thoughts. First of all, if Marcus...
He's so good, by the way.
He's great. I mean, you know, the one thing about Danny is that he will answer questions. And and I don't know if that's just because he's the kind of guy he is or because, we've had him on for years, and like he knows we're not like out to get him or anything like that. But I'm never going to ask him anything. It's not like what people are asking. Like, mm-hmm. I'm not trying to trap the, Danny. But a couple things from him being on. Number one, if Marcus Smart gets suspended for that shove, what the hell are we doing? Suspendable? I mean, it was a stupid shove. It was in the back. But, I mean, look at Danny's era of basketball and look at it now. That is not something – like, I think a suspendable offense is someone that could have seriously injured a guy. Like, when you purposely stick your foot out from underneath somebody when they go up and come down, which, has snapped the ankles of many a player before, mm-hmm. yeah. when you straight up punch a guy. But, I mean, Marcus Smart pushes a guy in the back, Joel Embiid.
It's almost as if Joel Embiid was not surprised that it happened. He got up rather quick, but, I mean, he said something to him. He gave him the chicken wing. It was a strong reaction from Marcus Smart, but I'm also with you. There's enough evidence to say, all right, Joel, you weren't totally, innocent in that whole thing.
Do I think Marcus Smart was a complete jackass for doing it? Absolutely.
Yeah, he was. That was
stupid, and Joe, I'm with you. It cost him the game. They needed just a couple stops at the end. I also think that foul that he committed on the final shot of the half that got Redick three shots at the line.
Yeah. What'd they lose by, Rich?
Three points. That was so ill-advised and dumb. All right, that being said, if you suspend him, what the hell are we doing? Number two, as far as Kyrie's comment that I just played right there about him saying that he's going to take a couple games off before the playoffs, why the hell does anyone have a problem with that?
I didn't like it. Before one of the biggest games of the year for seeding, wait till after the game.
He played.
Yeah.
But he was asked.
But you never hear.
He was asked. And what do you have to say?
Oh, I'm definitely taking days off. Like that's the way he put it.
You don't hear players say that though, Rich.
Why? Okay, but why is it a problem that he said it?
Because it's just on top. It's on top of what he's
Kyrie's world, man.
Yeah, it's just more the same. Where you just go, dude.
There are way too many things to pick on about Kyrie Irving that are legit. This is not one of them. I mean, and I understand that. It's almost like when you've been in love with like a woman for a while, and then you get in a fight, you start finding all the little things, and like even the tiny things start bugging you that didn't bug you before. I get that.
That's
Kyrie.
What must be going on for me with
but,
him.
But if
in
you
that
just
comment,
just take it for what it is. He says he's going to be taking a couple games off. Everyone does that.
You just don't say it though. You don't say because the young guy
got no problem.
Playoff seating. Do you want home court or not?
You want the young kids.
They're
to
playing
be
the
hungry.
Pacers no matter what. They're playing the Pacers no matter what.
Do you want home court?
During the Pacers series,
yeah.
I don't care. They're going to beat the Pacers.
Okay.
That series, they'll beat the Pacers. So to me, it doesn't matter. Now, I wish, listen, do I hope that they win? Of course.
I will say this about Rich. There's a lot of things that don't matter to the person that's on the outside. But in those, like you think bulletin board material, that doesn't matter. Oh, yeah? Oh, yeah, it does. Because coaches use it all the time for a reason. There's just certain things that you might not think that's going to really matter, but young guys hear him say that, and it's almost giving him an excuse to let off the pedal a little bit. So you can think it all day, but to verbalize it, I think is a bad look.
Well, to your point, even Terry Rozier said in that interview that Chris Forsberg did with him that the team takes the shape mentally of how Isaiah Thomas feels that day. Kyrie Irving feels that day. And if that's the case, sure. As a leader, would you say that? Maybe you shouldn't. But I got no problem with him admitting what everybody else in the NBA does. Everyone does it. And you know what? As a Celtics fan, I want to see him. And I want to see Al Horford. And I want to see...
Rested. I get
it. Sit on the bench.
Don't say it.
Don't even rush back Baines. If Baines is going to be good enough to come back with like two games left, okay, maybe give him some few minutes to ramp up, you know, just to get his feet back from underneath him for a couple of games. All right, the third thing is, as far as Kyrie Irving, him and Isaiah, I'm going to mouth fart all morning. As far as Isaiah Thomas and whether or not the Celtics ruined him, because you heard Anthony Davis's dad say it, and it was a theory that was out there, and it was fairly suspect when the medical staff, or at least members of the staff, weren't there anymore after that season. The one thing I will say, and the one reason I actually believe Danny Ainge, that their hands are clean on this, is if a organization ruined you and you went from being, quote-unquote, back up the Brinks truck to being essentially broken.
I know you're going here.
Wouldn't you hate that organization?
Yeah. He loves them.
Everything in your soul. You would be so bitter towards everything having to do with the Boston Celtics. Yet, what have we been hearing? And what did we hear after that game over and over again? I would love to be a Boston Celtics. Yeah. I love the Celtics. Everything about the Celtics, blah, 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 blah. That is the one piece of evidence that makes me go, you know what? Danny's probably right in this, and he's not trying to cherry coat or put a nice sugar coat. What actually happened. It looked weird.
It's a great point.
It looked weird when it went on, but now that we know how Isaiah feels, it definitely feels that way. All right, 617-779-0985. We'll get to the stack right after.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Boston's home for sports. Boston's home for sports. It's just a command away.
Open your mouth.
Just ask your smart speaker to play. Play 88.5, the Sports Hub.
Oh, I need one of those.
Hi, how are you, honey? Hello!
This is where Boston talks sports.
I'm overwhelmed.
Rich.
You can eat a lot at one sitting.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
98.5 of Sports Hub. It's Toucher and Rich. We have, of course, Joe Murray, who's getting very antsy, getting ready for 12:15 tip-off, and then it is, what, almost 3 weeks of just staring at a television and not getting away from any moment of action because he's got action himself on every single one of these games. You're going to bet on what percentage of the games are you betting on?
16 today.
Dang,
okay,
dude.
So 16 today. Out of the entire tournament, like, how many games do you think you don't bet on?
I don't know. It depends on the line. I've been staring at these things. Like, Vermont and Florida State, I've been staring at it all day.
Yeah.
It went from 11, now it's 8.5, and it's just, I think Florida State should destroy Vermont.
Have you ever made a bet based on some rationale that was an external thing? Like, something that was so just, I don't know, like... they had to travel from,
all the time.
Travel things that you would never think about as the layperson, but
I bet on Vermont ones because I like cheese. You know, I bet on, like New Mexico State. I like salsa. Like, you know, I'll do it. No,
win?
Yeah. but that's why when we post our plays, it's fade or follow.
Yeah.
You either fade the pick or you follow the pick, and that's why we throw it out there. But
what does that mean exactly?
So fade means to go against, follow means to follow.
Okay, gotcha. That's awesome.
Did you ever bet on the ponies?
Oh, dude, I love the horses.
Oh, yeah?
Kentucky Derby every year. I've hit a trifecta before. I went to Suffolk Downs, by the way.
Yeah.
Degenerate Central.
Oh, it's the best.
There are guys in, like, dollar bill suits. And so, and the other thing is...
Allegedly.
Yeah, in like, yeah. Smoking a cigar. Oh, I know we were talking about smoking, but smoking a cigar at the track, like... Dude. Great thing.
There was one when I lived in Dallas. I would show up in a cowboy hat and smoke a cigar. I'd only wear it to the track, and we would go there. And I mean, that's a big day out. Like that was fun. But I mean, there was always the old adage that you know you watch the horses walk around before, and whichever one takes a dump is going to be the one that wins.
Oh yeah,
because he's the lightest. I never won using that method.
I will tell
Did
you.
Did you say Dallas?
Yeah.
Did you enjoy living in Dallas?
Dallas was unbelievable.
It's awesome, isn't it?
Dallas is an amazing city.
Yeah, it is fun.
It's the only city in Texas better than Dallas is Austin. Austin's one of my favorite cities. Okay, so
Hill Country's as good as it gets, man.
If for some reason you now, I would much rather live in Massachusetts now that I live here because I mean, there's a million. I mean, the best hospitals.
I love to raise a family here. Yes. What I love about Massachusetts.
However, if for some reason your job got transferred from Massachusetts to Dallas, you would immediately get. Twice the space for half the price and no state. Like, you would be making it rain.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. Look how far my money goes. Like, everyone there drives. Like, I remember at the time, Hummers were like
a big
thing.
It is a little showy, though.
It's as showy as it gets. Women wear high heels to go to the grocery store in Dallas,
Texas.
Put
makeup on. Do themselves up.
Your head will spin. Yep. Like, I mean,
it's true.
You know how you'll go to, you'll walk over to, Star Market or something, and, everyone in there is wearing, like, sweatpants? Oh, no. It's like a nightclub. When you go to, their grocery is called Albertsons. Ooh. When you go to the Albertsons, it is like you just walked in, to the liquor store. Yeah. It is like a nightclub in there, the Grand. But it's that place ruled.
It's a fun city.
Great food, and and your money went so freaking far.
It did.
But one thing, if you did move, you would miss out on New Hampshire. And the great thing about New Hampshire is they have the most amazing amusement parks, including Clark's Trading Post, which we were talking about earlier this week. Clark's Trading Post, I'm obsessed with because a caller called in and I'd seen the billboards like, "Come meet the wild man," and he just looked like this. Feral human being, like a guy who you could have seen over at like Park Street, but he was like, you just see him like, he's got no teeth and an eye patch. And you, Joe Murray, so that you used to go and see this guy all the time.
Hello, pigeon lickers. You know something? I don't like hodags, you flat mutt-landed marabopping yellow belly long nose geezers. What are you doing on my turf? No, I do you. I'll take you, and I'll take your hands, and I'll stick you right down those jaws down there.
Yeah, so he's talking about eating children. Fairly terrifying, it sounds like. You've experienced this firsthand.
Oh, yeah. I've been to Clark's Trading Post multiple times. It's right near Loon Mountain. The old man. So what it is when you go, it's obviously for children. It's a museum. They have cars. They have, like, bumper boats, slides, and the bear shows are what it's all about. But they have a train. You hop on the train, and then you're going down and back, going over like a track that heads over the river. But when you're on there, it goes, if you see the old man, be sure to say, "Scram, you old goat," and like point at him. So you'll be going, and all of a sudden, like, you'll hear a shotgun. Like, what the hell's going on here? And this guy's in his car, and he's like, "Oh, you people, get off my track. This is my land." And everyone's just screaming, "Scram, you old goat."
It sounds like a nightmare.
Yeah.
Like,
he follows you all the way through. You're in a dark tunnel, and you hear bang, bang, bang. You're like, "Am I going to get out of this tunnel?"
How is this fun? Because that's a real shotgun, right?
No, it's probably blanks.
How old were you when you first had a face-to-face?
I was in my 20s, so I wasn't a young kid.
How often do kids cry when the Wolfman shows up?
They get scared. Yeah, they hide under their parents. Or hide under the thing, but this is a legit, like, if you're going to New Hampshire, this is a legit thing you need to do.
Oh, now I want
live
to go.
Live free or die, man. That's what it's all about.
Great people up in New Hampshire.
Is this a place you would recommend going high?
Absolutely.
Ding, 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 ding.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Yes.
Like Legoland. You missed an opportunity.
I did miss it last week. I was telling Joe the story and Ted off the air. Last week I went out to California, and the backstory, I mean, once it's been legalized, I tried getting stoned, and I couldn't. It just didn't work. I took gummies. I used a vape pen. It didn't work. So I tried it again when I was out in California. I'm like, oh, my God, it's legal. So I went over to this dispensary, and the first night I was in Palm Springs, I smoked a decent amount. I didn't get high, and I had this thing of chocolate. But the next day we were going to Carl's Legoland.
Yeah.
And there was part of me was just like,
should I do it?
Should I do it? and I told Joe this. And Joe, what was your reaction when I said that?
I can't believe that you didn't go to Legoland High. That would have been the greatest thing in the world.
No,
the only thing with the edibles, you just don't know how it's going
to
hit you.
Sure, and on top of that, I can't do it because I'm with my kids and stuff like that. Yeah. However, you know, I was thinking, should I do it like at night? You know, when I'm in the hotel room, and then I'm in a room, and above my head is like these Ninjago ninja swords, and all of these like the hotel rooms all have like Lego figures and giant stuff all around. I have a feeling if I had a bad experience, I would be in a nightmare cell because of all the weird crap that was around me. Mm-hmm. Do you agree, Joe? Like, you'd probably flip out if this is your first experience.
See, I don't know. The first time I was high, I just got hungry. Oh, you know what I mean? So, like, I don't think you'd freak out. I don't think you'd freak out. The thing now at this point, Rich, I'm wondering if you know if you're high or not. Like, I don't know. Like, I feel like I could get you high.
See, but then what's the purpose? Because I like when I drink, I know when I'm feeling loose, and I know you know I haven't been like drunk in a long time. But I drink and I feel good. But I know that it's altering the way that I feel. Nothing changes when I smoke. Nothing. And it's weird because I smoke a lot.
It makes no sense, right? You and I are sitting here trying to figure out how that is the case.
I get hungry. I get like, I get happy. I want to take my shoes off. Like, I'll unbuckle my belt. You know, like,
oh, dude. I got to put things I think of. I'm like, that was a really good thought. I'm always in my phone writing down notes. Because I'll forget them later.
Sooner or later, we're going to do it. We're going to get high together. Sooner or later, it's going to happen. Because I don't think there'd be anyone more fun to do it and like to be my shaman than you, Mr. Joe Murray.
I want
to
come too.
All right. Well, we'll make a party out of it. All right. 617-779-0985. We'll see what Zoak and Bertrand are up to now.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
There's a lot more to worry about than
Toucher and Rich. The real nightmare. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Five of Sports Hub. It is Toucher and Rich, and this just came across my desk here. I guess the Encore Boston is starting today, taking reservations for opening night. Dan just asked me if I've seen the rooms, and they're the exact same rooms as the ones in Vegas. Like, they took the floor plan of the one. I joke about it being, you know, the Everett monolith, because it does look weird. It just fell out of the sky, and it's Everett. However, once you get inside that Encore, dude, that place is going to be amazing. Mm-hmm. They took the floor plan of the one in Vegas and, for the most part, duplicated it and put it there, and it looks phenomenal. I might need to reach out. How cool would it be? We should do like a show like a Saturday night. No, like the entire show. Like, do a Saturday night there and, like, spend the night until Sunday. And just for one night, you know, all of us. From the show, and you guys too.
Let's go.
Just sit all night at the casino, and Joe Murray can show us how it's done.
Yep.
And that would be a blast.
That would be a great time.
I'm telling you, we need a studio there. Like, get honest.
Yeah. Well, who's the guy? Musburger? Brent Musburger?
Yeah, Veasan. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's got one out in Vegas too. It's almost like a booth right near the sports book.
That's right. But yeah, they do their show live in there, and you can see it in the background.
I would think the Encore would want to have a nice little cozy relationship with the sports.
Well, I think they already do in a way, but I just know that when I get there, Bird's going to be like, remember that scene in Goodfellas where he walked through the back kitchen and he knew everybody and they brought him up to the front table? Bird is going to, that's going to happen, because essentially every human being that he knows who lives within a 5-mile radius of him and Everett is going to be employed there. Just quickly, Bert, how many people that you know can you estimate, do you think, that are going to be employed by the Wynn when it, or the Encore when it opens?
More than 20 people.
Yeah, right.
Trying to get there, though, is going to be a disaster. I'm sorry. Like,
it'd be a crapshoot.
Dude, right now, I can't even get by there right now. It's not even open yet.
Yeah, I don't know what they're planning on doing as far as, like, the boat. I know that there's going to be, like, a boat that goes there, and they're trying to find out ways to... I think the boat's going to be the way to go.
I don't know, man. Like, you can go to Wellington and walk. I don't know. Hey, dude, it's going to be a disaster.
What's the projected opening day?
Oh, it is... They actually have it here. I believe it's... June 23rd.
Oh, okay. Killing
June 23rd.
Yeah, cool.
Sunday, June 23rd. With room rates starting at $777 a night.
Oh,
jackpot. It's for opening night. So it's probably, maybe, I don't know. Maybe it'll be that expensive. Who knows? But either way, Hardy's a high roller.
It's going to be a good time.
You're going to enjoy going to the Encore, aren't you, Hardy, when that opens up? Because, I mean, it looks exactly like the one in Vegas. And it's even got, like, natural light and stuff.
Yeah, like
the one
half the size.
Yeah, right. But the rooms are the exact same. But they're doing the same kind of look.
Yeah. Yeah. Here's why I like it. And I'll show this to Joe Murray here. He'll get a kick out of this. Somebody just sent me a photo from Wynn in Las Vegas, which is Wynn Encore, essentially the same thing. A friend of a friend was playing 100-play video poker.
100
right?
play.
So you get dealt the one hand, you hold whatever you want on that one hand, and then you get 100 separate shuffles, right, on the other hands. He got dealt a royal flush.
Whoa.
So hot. So sexy. I stared at this picture.
There it is.
Look at that.
Yeah.
100 royal flushes. Now, he was playing, like, you know, 10-cent video poker,
yeah,
but you're doing it 100 times. So the jackpot was $40,000.
Oh, jeez.
So what, they just pull up a ticket right out of the thing? Yeah, give you the ticket and then you just cash it out, right?
No, that's a hand pay. They walk over to you. They've got the forms that you fill out right there, and then they ask you how you want it. Anything over, I'd say...
Nickels.
10 grand.
10 grand seems to be like the thing where they'll say, okay, what do you want? You want a check? You want all cash? Mm-hmm. You want half and half? What do you want to do?
I'm a nice man.
I forgot.
Very cool.
I forgot. You're someone. You got to come with us. We got to do that. We got to get that set up somehow. There needs to be like a sports hub night there.
I'm in. Mm. That sounds like a great idea.
Okay,
let's do it.
Okay.
All right. Maybe they'll make a sports hub restaurant.
Yeah. Just pull my arm. Jeez, man. All right. Well.
Beautiful.
Apex Entertainment, right? That is where
the boys are,
Zolak and Bertrand are for all the March Madness. Joe Murray, to you, the best of luck.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
On what is your big day? Hey, thanks for coming in and classing up the joint. Ted Johnson,
enjoyed
as always.
It. I'll be on Sunday with Joe, 1 to 4 o'clock, so check us out. Thanks. I had a lot of fun, Rich. Thank you.
It was good. I will not be here tomorrow. We will see you on Monday. Goodbye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.